and welcome to the Original Content Podcast. I'm Anthony Ha.
I'm Jordan Crook.
And I'm Daryl Etherington.
And today we are just going to do one thing. We are going to review the new film on Netflix, Extraction. It's a movie starring Chris Hemsworth, who many of you will know as the star of the Thor films. And it's also produced and written by Anthony and Joe Russo, who were very involved in or directed Avengers Endgame, Avengers Infinity War, several other Marvel films. So it has these sort of Marvel connections, but is pretty different from the Marvel superhero films, at least in terms of the level of violence. The story is about this character named Tyler Rake, who I think with this great, great action hero name, who is hired to rescue a kidnapped teenager who's the son of a drug dealer in India, and he's taken
Lord. Big difference.
Oh, I'm sorry. Drug lord.
Yeah, come on.
Drug kingpin.
Drug dealers the respect are due. Low-level employees. Drug lords sit at the top of the mountain.
Right. And so a rival drug lord kidnaps the son, whose name is Ovi. And he's taken to Dhaka in Bangladesh. And so most of the film, pretty much all of the film, takes place in Dhaka, and it's about Tyler's efforts to get Ovi out of Dhaka. I think that's really, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that happens, but it feels like in a lot of ways the plot is pretty straightforward. Did I hit the high points?
Pretty thin as well, yeah.
Right. What did we think?
Well, I mean, listen, I loved it.
I knew
it.
You guys would. You fucking boys. Oh. A boy in an action movie. You cannot separate the two. Ugh.
At least, I mean, I would say that I wouldn't say I loved it, but I liked it. But it may also be these specific two boys, not necessarily every boy.
I mean, I hate to box in boys. I'm sure there's girls that like action movies and boys who don't, but the two tend to go together, and I don't
know. And Daryl and I have, in some ways, fairly stereotypically male taste, so I think that's totally fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Tara liked this one, too.
Oh,
just
did she?
To advocate, but I think, I don't know, she did say that it was, you know, she likes Mr. Pretty Face.
Yeah, Hemsworth. Whatever. I was gonna say that too, but I also don't want to stereotype.
Right.
Yeah, as a gay girl, I didn't have much to enjoy about this film. I mean, I not to box in gay girls either. I you know, these movies are so, one, like, generally unrealistic, which I get it. Action movies, like, they all are, right? I don't think there's a single action movie out there that's like, we're going to stick to the rules of physics and, you know, like, general medicine, where when someone gets shot, they can't stand up and shoot more people. Like, you know, like, none of them follow the rules. So I don't want to, like, single out Extraction for being unrealistic, because that's, like, you know, part of the genre. But it's just like, I was watching with my dad last night, and I said, can you give me 5 adjectives for our 2 main characters, Ovi and Rake? Like, no, we don't know shit about these people. Like, I mean,
Ovi,
perseverance,
pianist.
Maybe.
That's not an adjective.
Like, yeah, adjective. Child, grown man, like, you know, like, strong. Good fighter, you know, like, there's nothing that ties you to care about anything. Like, I don't like stuff like that, where you just, like, don't have anything in your,
what,
like,
about Defocus Beach
sphere to
flashbacks
about. You mean the ones that came at the very, very end?
No, they were punctuated throughout.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
But I hated those.
I missed that.
I mean, they were pretty simple. It was just like
a little kid
had a child. That's the tick box for personality, right?
Yeah, former father.
It's a little bit of a mild spoiler, but I think this is not a shock at all. So I'll just, and I really, really hate this in, or I increasingly dislike this in Hollywood movies, because it feels like such a lazy way to build character is to have the main character be someone whose child has died.
Yeah.
And I just think, like, I mean, not to say that no movie can ever do that, but I just think there are movies where they feel like, oh, we have to make our main character more sympathetic, more haunted in some way, and this is just an easy way to do that. And this felt like the laziest version of that, where they sort of sketch it in, and he sort of makes a couple of references to it, but it really doesn't matter. You could have removed all of those scenes, and I'm not sure that the movie would have been affected at all.
Yeah, totally.
It's true.
I just, you know, and I do think that, like, for folks who, like, really enjoy action sequences, like, yeah, this has some really cool shit. And, like, the way that it was filmed in certain instances, like, there's a car chase scene that I thought was, like, pretty novel, you know, the camera seemed to like zoom forward and then spin around and zoom backwards and then spin around and zoom forward, all the while the car itself is doing those things. Yeah. That was cool, you know, like for 30 seconds, but the car chase of course lasts like 11 minutes or something, and so it just is like slightly, it gives me a little bit of fatigue, and again without much to grab onto emotionally. Like, why should I care? Like, I've seen a bunch of explosions. Are you going to do something cooler with the next explosions? Like, no. And in fact, I don't think the, like, visual effects in this were all that great. Particularly, there were some parts where it was, like, really obvious, where you're like, oh, man, budget cut. But...
Well, I would I would think, like, the explosions are definitely the weakest part from a effects perspective. They don't look good. And that's why I was happy they were relatively light on them. But definitely I concede that point. But I think things like that chase scene definitely made up for it. Like, that was visually stunning.
It was.
And then all the fight scenes were really good too. They kind of reminded me of John Wick,
yeah.
Type stuff, because it's like a little bit of that gunfighting, whatever, gun canna type thing. Oh. Like, they were athletic, and then the guy was like manipulating, you know, they're like using the gun as kind of a martial arts thing in parts, right? But maybe this one leaned a little more to just straightforward army action stuff. But I liked it. I thought it was well choreographed and also well shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think specifically that car chase, which I believe was not actually all shot in one take, but is designed to look like that's what happens. And
yes.
Yeah, I think it was just, there's an element of, I think with any action movie, there's like sort of a thin line between these really impressive action scenes, where there's a thin line between being really impressed, but then that just sort of wondering how they did it and thinking about how impressive it is that they did it can sort of take you out of the story and diminish your enjoyment. And I definitely had moments where you feel like, oh, like just the planning of this shot must have been so complicated, because it, you know, like you said, it's like a really a lot of different action things happening together, being coordinated, but also it's following different characters at different moments and kind of, you know, mostly following Chris Hemsworth, but then occasionally following Ovi, occasionally following this soldier, and the way it all fits together. I was like very impressed with it, but I did sometimes find myself thinking less about, oh, is this person going to be okay, and more just about what the behind the scenes must have looked like. And I mean, that is by far, I think, the most impressive action scene. I would say that there was a little bit of monotony to the other action, in the sense that you just... There's a little bit of a feeling there's only so many times I need to see Chris Hemsworth shoot someone in the face. I mean, he does it
right.
Well.
He does shoot a lot of people in the face.
And it's convincing, and it is exciting. I was never bored. I will say that I was never bored, but there was nothing that quite took my breath away in the same way that sequence did.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, it was definitely the standout piece, and then... It felt like kind of the rest of the thing was almost scaffolding to set that up, like to provide that a venue to exist in. And there's definitely, and we can talk about it in spoilers more, but there's definitely like logical leaps and breakdowns that like don't make a lot of sense. But like story-wise, but also like when it comes to the violence, like it's coming from the background of this graphic novel that was like known for its ultra-violent portrayals of a lot of the deaths and killings in it or whatever. So I think it has that tradition. I think in some ways it's actually like scaled back from that, with the difference being that it's not a cartoon. It's like you know, supposed to be real people or whatever. So it's still shocking, but yeah, it's I guess they wanted to capture that because that was kind of seemingly the point of the graphic novel when it came out years and years ago, which the Russo brothers were also involved in, like they co-wrote before their Marvel career.
Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the things it made me think of was how a movie like this in some ways is much darker and more adult than the Marvel films. And just, you know, that there's just like a bleakness to it. There, the things that happen to human bodies are much more disgusting than anything that happens in one of the Avengers movies. But at the same time, it's just as much a fantasy. Like it's people have talked about it a little bit as like a throwback to 80s action movies.
Yeah.
Like the kind of movie that Arnold Schwarzenegger or Sylvester Stallone might have starred in 30 years ago. And I mean, this probably explains a little bit of Daryl and my fondness for it. In some ways, it sort of scratches that same itch. But I mean, I think in a lot of ways, the way it's shot is very different because I just don't think an 80s movie has that kind of visceral handheld quality. It wouldn't have tried to do that 10-minute single take shot. But it is, I guess, like at first it feels like, oh, this is like a much grittier, more realistic film. And then at a certain point, you realize, no, this is just a complete fantasy too, just a much more violent fantasy.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a mix between those 80s movies and like John Wick, because it's like, you know, John Wick is much more fantasy and like builds on, it's not really gritty in the same way because it's kind of like, it's a little bit glossy almost, right? Like it's like this heightened fantasy world of like assassins and semi-futuristic stuff, whereas this is like, yeah, like that gritty look of like, yeah, they get dirtier and sweatier the time or as it goes on, right? Like Die Hard is another one that comes to mind, right? Where the hero gradually gets more battle damaged and covered in grit and grease. And like this one took that to the extreme. And we can talk about that more in spoilers too, with in terms of the characters and their sustained damage. But I agree with that, I think.
So Jordan, it sounds like you were at least impressed with that first centerpiece action scene. Would you say that for the rest of the film, you weren't super into it?
No, I think that, I mean, like the action scenes themselves, most of them, like save the explosions, because I do, that was like, definitely took me out. I was like, that is fake. They were pretty good, you know, like the initial fight when he's in that kind of like, I don't know, like a slum with all those first guys who are, you know, holding him up. That was pretty cool. The car chase was cool. You know, many, many more fight scenes after that, you know, like Daryl was saying, with guns and fists and knives, and they were cool. It's just like, I just need more than that. You know what I mean? I can't be sustained on like 15 minutes of that and then like 2 minutes of sitting still, and then 15 more minutes of that, and then 2 more minutes of sitting still, and like some fake conversation about how we care about each other. Like, oh, like you got to get this kid out of the city. Like, that's all I care about. Like, why? Because I do, you know? And it's like, oh, good. Thanks. I totally feel quenched now with that really amazing writing. Like, I don't know. It was fine. I'm not like gonna like, you know, freak out about it or anything. It just, I don't know, I don't really care for action movies to begin with, and I can appreciate like the choreography that goes in and the like all the meticulousness that goes along with, you know, filming something like that. Like, I appreciate that. I know it took money and a lot of dedication, and I'm sure like Chris Hemsworth worked his ass off to get every scene right, and the director and all those people. That's cool, and I appreciate it, but I can't, like, I don't ever want to watch that again. I'm not going to recommend it to anyone. Like, there's just nothing else beyond that. There's cool action scenes, and that's all. And that's not enough.
We should have on Vian's boyfriend, Alex, who is, like, a stunt coordinator.
We should, yeah, and he does stunts himself.
Tell us all about this. Yeah. Side note, but
I feel like it's always risky when you talk to somebody who really knows what they're talking about, because sometimes you can be like, oh, that was this amazingly edited scene, or that was this amazing fight scene, and then the jaded professor's like, eh, it's not really that big a deal. Whatever.
That's true. Yeah.
Like, right. I liked that it. Is, I don't know.
Yeah. That's a risk. But I get that totally. It's definitely not everybody's cup of tea, this one. And in fact, it's like explicitly not some people's cup of tea. because of, like, there are, like, Jordan, I feel like you're kind of like, you know, you're on it, but there are some people who would be like, no, like, I would recommend absolutely not. You should not watch this, right? Like, it's pretty gross out. And yeah, there's not much to follow in terms of depth or plot if you're hungry for something like that, right?
Yeah. And like the logical jumps you're talking about too, like, I guess we're gonna have to talk about this in spoilers, but I feel like, I don't know, 25 minutes in, once the plot, if you can call it that, really like starts to take shape, I was instantly confused. I'm not really sure why there were two people who felt like they should have been in the same team and were working towards the same goal, and inevitably at the end they are, but like for half the movie they were also against each other, and maybe you guys can explain that to me. I was also like distracted because I didn't give a shit about this movie.
I think that is handled very clumsily. In some ways, it actually, to me, betrayed, even though at the point I think they wrote the initial graphic novel, they had not made any of the Marvel movies yet. It felt like it also had those comic book roots, because one of the things that happens in superhero comics is the two heroes, there's like a confusion about, you know, whether or not they're on the same side. So the first thing that two superheroes always do when they meet each other is they fight each other. And then later on, they team up, partly just, I think, to stretch out the story. And this felt like the much bloodier and more violent version of that. In spoilers, we can talk a little bit more about why specifically that happened. It felt very lazy how they justified the direction that took. I would say one other thing overall that, again, I agree that this movie is for a specific, probably predominantly male audience. It does feel like, I'm glad that Netflix made it, in the sense that, you know, as more and more movies are just part of these like giant franchises, and action movies tend to be these very bloodless, weightless affairs, I'm glad that somebody is still making these relatively, you know, I guess it's a mid-budget film. According to Wikipedia, it was made for $65 million, which is, you know, way less than the Avengers movies, but it's not just a tiny independent film either. And so I'm glad that it still exists. And I mean, maybe if you're a fan of the Bourne movies, that might be the close. I mean, the John Wick movies are also a good comparison. I think this could scratch the same itch. It's not great art by any stretch of the imagination, I don't think. And certainly the screenplay is probably the weakest part. But it's a fun movie. I had a good time watching it.
Yeah, agree.
Should we move into spoilers?
Let's do.
Okay, so if you have not seen Extraction and you don't want to be spoiled for the ending, feel free to stop listening now. Although I will add, this is not a movie where plot is important. So if you continue listening, I don't think you're going to be too upset either.
Yeah.
Yeah, the plot is pretty easily revealed in the first 10 minutes or so, and in the trailer, right? He's got to get this kid out. Then the lady says, leave the kid behind. And he decides, no, I'm going to get the kid out anyway.
That's the premise.
That's
there you
the
go.
Whole thing.
And well, and then I guess there's two sort of surprises, which is Jordan, what you were referring to is the role of this character, Saju, who is introduced as the sort of the henchman slash babysitter of this, of Ovi. And, or rather, he's, you know, he works for Ovi's father, and it seems to
also
be in charge of like
Ovi.
Right.
Thank God they simplified that for us.
All right. Okay.
Junior and senior. And so he was in charge of Ovi Jr.'s safety. Once Junior is kidnapped, he has this very tense conversation with the drug lord, who says, listen, if you want your son to see his next birthday, you better go save my son. And so the problem for Saju then becomes, how the hell am I going to rescue this kid? This drug empire apparently does not have enough money to pay this mercenary team. And so instead, what we find out is that he hires this mercenary team, led by Chris Hemsworth, but instead he decides he's going, once they've rescued Junior, he's going to kill them and, you know, save Junior for himself so he does not have to pay them, which is, I mean, I guess.
So that's the part I missed. They didn't have the money. Because I thought, from what I understood, the Ovi Sr. was against the idea of negotiating with drug lord number two, but not against paying money to get him back. I think that's the part I missed. I thought, like, there's plenty of money in the bank. You just can't give it to my enemy.
No, no, they didn't have enough money for either. That was a key part of it. But, I mean, the boss didn't want to give him any money regardless. That's true. But they didn't have enough money to even pay their extraction firm.
Yeah.
But I think it's true that the idea of paying the ransom is dismissed very quickly. There's just a line of dialogue where it says, well, it's not really just about, he's not interested, you know, this rival drug lord is not interested in my money. He wants to humiliate me, which probably means doing something horrible to my son.
Yeah.
And then they just sort of move on from there.
You'd think that this extraction team that has, like, you know, this whole operation situation, right? They're employing a bunch of people and they seem very capable. They have helicopters and shit. You'd think they'd also have, like, a pretty solid due diligence team to make sure that the bills can get paid before they send a bunch of people to DACA. You know what I mean? Like, stupid.
They do have a slick operation, but I feel like they're not wise about how they spend their resources, because they have that guy with the open shirt, and he's not really doing anything.
Which guy?
Wait, who's the open shirt guy?
G?
No, not G. G did lots of stuff. G was very useful. Cool. The guy, he was just in the control room, and he seemed to be like, he seemed to kind of have the same job as the woman, but it was,
didn't he fly the helicopter at the end, though?
It got by accident because the other guy got shot. Right. He wasn't even supposed to fly the helicopter. He just got tagged in.
I thought he was already flying it and the guy next to him got shot just as, like, co-pilot. But open shirt guy was main pilot.
No, no. Open shirt guy doesn't do that kind of work.
Well, it's funny, too, because, like, management lady, also, there's no indication whatsoever that she is anything but a manager / logistics person, and then she's like, hold on, I got this bazooka, I'm gonna fire that off, and then I'm also an expert sniper and a hitman myself. It's like, why weren't you out in the field, lady? Like, what?
She got promoted past that is my assumption.
Yeah, clearly. And then had to jump back in to the field as her men started going down, probably because she didn't go look into the fact that they were never going to get paid and this is a terrible operation, should have never done it to begin with.
I think what it also speaks to is how, I mean, in a lot of the, and I think partly it's because we remember the good action movies from the 80s, but in a movie like Aliens or Predator, the characterization is not deep, but at least you have a sense of the personality of each person on the team. You're like, oh, this guy's the cocky asshole. This person is the, you know, silent but competent leader or whatever. And you can sort of slot people into these different types. Here, you couldn't even do that. And, like, as thin as Tyler's characterization was, it was just non-existent for any of the other characters. They're just that face holding that gun.
Yeah, that's true.
But, I mean, some of the faces were good. I thought, like, you know, the actress who played the sort of manager of the team, who at the end turns out to be pretty badass. I couldn't, again, with none of these characters could I describe them as people, but
yeah,
it was a pretty cool moment when this person who you've just seen, who for the rest of the movie, she's just been speaking into a headset, suddenly takes out a bazooka. You're like, oh, okay, I like this. This is cool. And then again, when you see her at the very end at the urinal and she shoots the bad guy in the head, I was like, sure, that, why not?
Yeah, I thought that was good. I did think, you're right, like, nobody had any characterization, but as far as their simple, like, I guess, stereotypes that they portrayed, like, they did fine, right? Like, it was just a bunch of cardboard cutouts running around doing cool stuff.
Well, so that's my argument, is I don't think they even bothered with the stereotypes. Like, they don't, like, you couldn't even give them, they're just whoever the actor was shooting a gun, which is fine. I mean, it was not a major complaint. It's just, like, I couldn't even give you what the stereotype was.
Yeah, I wonder if that's, I mean, I was talking to Anthony before the call about this. I can't even remember if I read this graphic novel, which I feel like is probably representative of the graphic. I feel like this is one of those where they just did the same thing in the comic and then they repeated it here, which is kind of interesting when you think about, I mean, again, who knows how involved the Russos are, but in this case, they actually created the original source material or co-created the original source material. Long time ago, right? So they have to be at least somewhat involved. It's not just them sticking their name on something because they are now Avengers famous. But like, what would they have been able to do without the Avengers existing source material, right? Like those movies were successful, I'd say, because of characterization, right? Like that was a huge part of why those movies are good. And this movie lacks any and all characterization, essentially. Most of the time, I can't even tell what Hemsworth's saying. I think not just because of his accent, but because he's like mumbling through most of it.
Yeah, there's a lot of grunting and mumbling. I had to turn subtitles on.
Yeah. So it definitely falls down there. And you're right that it doesn't even go as far as most kind of like, this guy's an archetype. You don't really need to know anything more about it than that, right?
I do think there's a little bit of this argument sometimes about action films of to what extent is a lot of the characterization and script stuff sort of extraneous, and is there an argument to be made for like a really minimalist script? And I think there have been examples of this. I mean, I haven't seen The Raid, but I hear that The Raid is a great example of this, where you really just, you have a setup and then you just have 2 hours of amazing action scenes, and in some ways that's better than wasting time on characterization that even in the best situation is not going to be that great. But I do think that Extraction suffers a bit for that. It's a little bit too minimalist, a little bit too lazy in the plotting. I guess the one other quote-unquote twist, not really twist, but development that I wanted to mention was David Harbour, who a lot of people will recognize from Stranger Things, does show up for a little bit. And he turns out that he has sold Tyler out, and they have this big fight in the living room. What did we think about that?
I was surprised when he showed up. I didn't read anything about it in advance, so I didn't know he was in it or anything like that. So I think that was somewhat effective, where it was like, hey, I recognize that guy. Cool. He's kind of like, he has flat characterization. It's pretty simplistic, but at least he has some kind of a story, although it's really clumsily established, right?
The way he just keeps saying, my wife, my wife, yeah. My wife.
Yeah, they're like, he gives him some food and then he's like, my wife made that. Then the guy's like, oh, wife. And he's like, yeah. And then like 5 minutes later, he says like, gotta go kiss my wife. And like, that's literally what he says.
I don't know what the fuck you guys are talking about. Who's talking about
their
wife?
Okay.
David Harbour from Stranger Things.
Oh, Jim Hopper.
Yeah, yeah, Jim Hopper.
Okay. Jim Hopper kept talking about his wife? I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. He was establishing it so that later he could be, that could be his motivation for betraying his friend. But the establishment of it was like super, like they're just awkward, bashing you over the head. And like, it's not even necessary. Like, he could just say later, like, hey, they threatened my wife. And then you're like, I get it. He has a wife. Like, good, right? They didn't need to, like, let's plant this seed. It's going to come back in 5 minutes. Like, it wasn't even like.
It wasn't like it was at the very beginning of the movie where he was like, I love my wife so much. She's great. And then like an hour later, it was like literally right before this whole thing unfolds.
Yeah, exactly. So
I think that was also weird, just like a tool. Well, there was the piece where like Rake had no one to trust at a certain point, right? Except for like his boss lady. I think that never wavered. But other than that, there was no one else for him to trust at any point throughout the movie until the very end. And you had to give the kid a reason to hug him. And that just felt like the only reason for any of that.
Yeah,
like for the kid
and just to
be like,
a slightly
different
kind of action scene.
Yeah, slightly, very slightly.
Right, not dramatically different, but at least it was somebody. Instead of him murdering 10 people at once, it was one person who could kind of fight back.
Yeah, who was better at fighting, and who he obviously like. They were both, I think, a little bit bothered to be fighting each other. You know what I mean? And we're like, oh, like, you're my old friend. Stay down, stay right. down.
Right. And they were, at least were not, the goal was not to kill the other person, at least at the beginning.
The stupid movie.
Okay. Let's just maybe then talk a little bit about the actual ending, which is this giant finale on the bridge, where, you know, the Saji was killed. It looks like Rake is killed. And then
wait. First, can we talk about Saji just briefly? Because
yes.
That was the other part we wanted to address, but then we were waiting for spoilers. Because it's like, and Jordan, you pointed this out too. It makes absolutely no sense the way that they are against each other and then team up. Also, they're against each other is super extreme. I guess you can kind of be like, oh yeah, when the stakes are that high, like I can see why they would do that. But like, I was like, why didn't he just give him back to that guy? I guess he lacks the information that we have, which is that guy's motivations are genuine, but it just seems really ridiculous and arbitrary that they're against each other. And then the flip, the most ridiculous thing is the flip, where he suddenly just goes, oh, I'm going to start trusting this guy now for no reason at all.
Yeah, totally. When I've been
out to kill him
before. I mean, I guess he had no other options, right? Like, he needed someone. You can't distract an army and get this kid safely across a bridge at the same time. So he needed someone's help. But it's weird that it's the guy that he just, like, got in a massive knife fight with and still doesn't know why that Saju hasn't fully turned, right? Like, at the whole movie, he's under the impression that Saju has turned, is working with the other drug lord.
Or is a third party that is going to kill the kid regardless. Yeah. There's something going on that he is suspect of, and there's nothing that happens to clear up his suspicion of his motivations, right?
And the way they resolve that is just with these two lines of dialogue where he, you know, gives Saju some guns, and Saju says, that's it? Or he thinks it's just like that, and Rake says, just like that. And then they take it from there.
Which is great.
So weird. That's like, all of it is so stupid. Like, we're supposed to believe that this guy who's like, I need the money, you know, is like, suddenly cares about this kid because when he's nervous, he plays the piano on his hands, or like, I don't.
Well, the other thing for the character where I don't have as much problem with that is like, the woman at the start is like, you're just looking for a bullet. And so he kind of seems to have a death wish, or at least a, like, he doesn't care at all.
He doesn't have a reason to live.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, why not do that versus the other thing, right?
Yeah.
Because that's more likely to get him killed, which seems to be one of his goals, maybe.
Well, at least he goes out, like, on a moral high note. But, like, I don't know. It's just, we don't know enough about anyone to know why anyone does anything, which is part of my big issue. Like, it's just not clear at all.
And I mean, it did seem like when Rake says, oh, I need the money, chickens are expensive, it seemed like he's partly joking and that essentially the woman is right. And he's just doing it, you know.
What do you guys know? You guys don't understand.
He's not spending any money. He just hangs out and has a beer.
Pay as close enough attention as I did. I clearly.
But I think, I ultimately agree with you that it's sort of sketched in, and so you sort of just have to fill it in. You sort of make up an explanation yourself, and that fundamentally, there's no. And the problem with that, I think, is that there's not really a strong transition. Like, it's not. Like, it's fine if they said, okay, like, he's the person who will always protect the kid, and that's who this character is, and that's who he is for the whole movie. Or if they say, okay, no, in the beginning, he's in it for the money. Or at the beginning, he's in it because he just wants to die. And then at a certain point, he wants to protect the kid. And I think they're trying to do the last one, but it's barely there at all. And you just sort of, and I do think actually he, and I think the kid, the actor who plays the kid is, you know, I don't think he has to show a tremendous amount of range, but just the vulnerability he shows and all of that. I think they have like a good dynamic together. It's just that there's really not a lot there.
Yeah, it feels a lot like the filmmakers were like, I want to do an action movie set in Dhaka. And then they were like, I want Chris Hemsworth to be in it. And then they were like, I want these six action scenes to be in it. And they choreographed all of them.
There's a lot of weird stuff about that where it's based on an existing property that it was set in Paraguay and now it's in India, which might have to do with production. Like, I think there was a production deal where it was a co-production. Because it features a lot of Indian actors and, like, probably, I didn't look at the credits, but seems co-produced with, like, Indian production companies. So that might be the reason for the switch.
But it just feels like the very last step of the entire process was, like, let's write a couple of these scenes that happen in between these action sequences and just kind of, like,
But weirdly, those predate it, right? Like, it exists as a story in itself.
I hear you. Premise. And yet still, they were like, let's not worry about anyone's motivations, any development of these characters, the general plot. Let's not stress that. Like, let's make sure we get this car scene right. And the rest will follow. You know what I mean? And it's like, no, bro.
I think that was the problem with both the material upon which it's based and the movie too. Like, I think it was common to both. I think another way
to describe it is, like, it sort of feels like in the script it was like, oh, flesh this out later, and then at a certain point they said, you know what, it's fine, we don't need to, people will get it, it's fine.
I did like one part that I liked plot wise was the kid who ends up, we're in spoilers now, right? So the kid who ends up delivering the fatal blow to Rake, who works for the rival drug lord. I thought that little mini story with him, even though there's not a whole lot of context around it. I mean, we meet him on the roof of a building. The drug lord's henchmen are throwing children off the roof because someone stole money at some point. It seems to be a completely different storyline, right? Like, that doesn't have anything to do with Ovi or...
Well, that's to get the Scarface kid involved and also to kind of like set up just how much this dude deserves it.
Right, of course. But I'm just saying, like, it's not tied to Operation OV Child. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
the kid says, I know who stole your money. It was Sanjay or Sanji. I forget exactly the name that it was. Well, who's that? Well, you just threw him off the roof, right? And the drug lord kind of laughs and is like, wow, you're clever. I like that. You're going to have to cut off two of your fingers because I like a walking reminder of my wrath, you know, instead of a dead one. And then the drug lord gets called away to a more pressing emergency. And he's like, wow, you're clever and lucky. Like, you can come work for me. And they kind of have an ongoing conversation about, like, there's always a bigger badass in the room, like, don't overestimate yourself, you know? But I thought that was interesting, that little, I mean, that's like a more fleshed out story than anything that happens with Chris Hemsworth, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's nice that it has the payoff at the end where it's like, oh, he ends up being the bigger badass than Hemsworth, who we all assumed was
the biggest of all. Yeah.
Although, twist. No, this is the best part, Anthony. This is the best part.
Are we talking about the very last shot?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, someone explain to me the in-pool meditation.
So that's just a reminder. This is another great callback. Here's where the storytellers get real advanced.
Oh my God, wow. There are layers and layers and layers, and I just can't even keep up. Tell me.
So at the start, we have Hemsworth jumping into the water and then like holding his breath or whatever. And you're like, oh, that's cool. What a super badass. But that's just
not what ran through my mind, but go on.
But then just sets it up here. So we see the kid doing it. And you're like, wow, how did he even know about like this cool thing to do? Or did he just kind of like intuit it? And then he comes up and you realize Hemsworth did that when he fell off the thing, holding the hole in his neck that was gushing blood from the bullet. He just held his breath under the water and survived down there. And now he's alive and he's training the kid to also be a cool badass. And
that's not how I read it at all. I thought it was his dad getting out of jail.
Oh, God, no. No, it was a white guy. Go back and look at it.
It's a white guy.
I don't want to go back and look at any of this, bitch. I'm not playing that game. But cool. Great. I'm so glad that Chris Hemsworth could survive 25 bullets at the bottom of a river. That makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, that'll be really good. because now there's going to be a sequel. It's going to be amazing.
The first thing that crossed my mind was like, please no Extraction 2. Please no Extraction 2 as the credits were rolling. I was like, I just, for whatever reason, have a feeling that this kid's story is going to go on. Please don't. He's good. Just let him grow up and, like, I don't know, live a normal life.
Well, my hope is that the kid isn't in this sequel. It's just Hemsworth killing some other people somewhere else for
continued no reason fun.
Yeah, yeah, he was great, but he served his purpose. Let's get to the meat of the thing, which is the killing.
I mean, so my objection to the ending, I guess, is sort of two-part in the sense that I thought it was a more powerful ending if Chris Hemsworth does die at the end and this other kid who we've been following kills him. Versus if he survives, it just sort of is like, okay, well, what was the point of a lot of that stuff?
But I don't think anyone's disputing that it would have been a more powerful ending if he had actually died.
I just want to say that out loud and explicitly. The other thing is that the way they do the ending then is, in a lot of ways, clearly setting up that he survived. And so there's like this big emphasis on showing the river but not finding the body, where you're always like, okay, well, if he didn't find the body, that means he survived. And then, you know, the way it ends with the shot of this character in the distance, you're like, oh, well, obviously that's Rake and he survived. But then there's this coyness about it where they don't actually, you just see him as a blurry figure in the back of the frame. And it's just like, why not just show Chris Hemsworth's face for like 5 seconds or like 1 second even?
It's,
I understand, like,
dad getting out of jail.
It's definitely not.
Well, I wondered, because I was like, oh, they're trying to preserve this ambiguity, but you're like, wait, but then if Rake didn't survive, what was the point, again, of like all this stuff making it seem like he survived? That just seems really silly. But then just say he survived. Like, it was like trying to preserve this ambiguity for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah, they just wanted you to feel like your heart quickens a little bit.
Oh, it quickened so much. I was like, his dad's out of jail.
That worked. I definitely was like, oh. And then credits.
Stupid movie. I hope all you people out there enjoy it. I really do.
So I said that about the ending. Ending would have been better the other way, but I preferred this ending, this worst ending, because I just wanted to make a ton of these schlocky movies. Like, I just want just like the John Wick saga. I just want there to be millions of
this. I'm gonna have to limit y'all on the podcast if they make a million.
That's
of these
fair.
Movies. We're not doing
that's okay.
this more than like once
yeah,
a month.
That's legit. I don't know how many. I mean, I love John Wick, and slight spoiler, the fact that John Wick 3 ended with a clear setup for John Wick 4, I sighed very loudly.
But it's corporate America. It's not art. Like, it's a franchise. What do you expect? Like, they're going to make as many of them as possible.
I would quibble, because I think the first John Wick is, I mean, it exists in this, I mean, any
don't you quibble
film on some
me?
Level, they expect it to make money. But I think it is, it's art, but it's a very specific kind of action art that I think is also a passion project for the people involved, because it's so weird and off kilter and made for a relatively small budget. But this, I agree, is like, I mean, it's pure B movie. It is, I mean, not to say that I think there was genuine passion from the Russo brothers in this, where they're like, yes, we want this throwback action movie. It's going to be great. It's going to be just like the movies we watched growing up, but we're going to bring these certain other elements to it. But it is a B movie. It is pure B movie. And that is part of what I like about it.
John Wick or Extraction?
No, Extraction.
Extraction.
Because John Wick is like an A action movie, right? Like, it, I mean,
yeah.
Most folks agree, at least the first one is like, you know, above the average line. You know what I mean? In terms of action movies.
Mm-hmm. I guess my point is, I love the John Wick movies. I don't think there needs to be 3 or 4 or 5 of them. And I liked Extraction. I don't think there needs to be any more of them.
Well, as soon as the box office starts giving them signals that there doesn't need to be any more, there won't be any more. You know,
right.
It's like,
right.
This has got to be a top movie on Netflix. This has got to be.
I think it is. Can't you check it?
Yesterday when I watched it, it was number one trending in the U.S.
It's number four trending in Canada right now.
And this is also ties into our previous discussion about how these random, not particularly good action movies seem to be the most popular thing on Netflix, and they seem to have higher viewership, according to Netflix's metrics, than any of the shows that it seems like people are actually talking about. And I would say that of that cluster of films, I have not seen Spencer Confidential. I doubt I ever will. Six Underground, I enjoyed, but is like...
I enjoyed Six Underground.
I like this. I think this is considerably better than Six Underground.
I don't. I think Six Underground is better. I never ended
up seeing Six Underground.
What? We reviewed it.
I know. I missed that one, and I never watched it in the end. But
lazy. Six Underground, I liked better for several reasons. One,
it is funnier.
It has a comedic element to it. Ryan Reynolds, to me, is like a much more full-bodied character and actor in general than Chris Hemsworth.
Oh yeah, they said no laughs, very few laughs.
And while this Extraction has several really great action sequences, I still think about the car chase in Six Underground. Like, that was 20 minutes that felt like 30 seconds. Like, it, I don't know how they managed to do it. And while it was even less realistic than this movie, it was like in a good way, kind of like how Mission Impossible is not realistic, you know, and you're like, well, at least they're doing creative things with this fantasy version of an impossible mission instead of just like unrealistic but still not particularly interesting or exciting. I don't know.
Totally. I don't think realism is a particularly interesting or worthwhile goal in the context of an action movie.
Well, maybe. I mean, I'd be interested to see a truly realistic action movie where, like, well, pretty much everyone dies because that's how it happens.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it could be interesting. I don't know.
The Irishman. There's your realistic action movie. Oh, God.
Yeah.
And just, one that isn't 4 hours people long, please.
Shooting each other in the face.
Old people shooting each other in the face. Jesus.
Daryl, you brought up the fact that the original graphic novel was set in Paraguay. This is set in Dhaka. And then according to the Wikipedia page, it was actually, I think they filmed a little bit, some of the backgrounds in Dhaka, but was mostly filmed in Thailand. And I think intellectually, I imagine that's probably not great and sort of betrays this American attitude towards, you know, a certain group of less developed countries, just treating them all as these
interchangeable
where
blocks.
Drug lords rule and you know, white action heroes have to come in and save people. That
yeah
is not ideal, but I liked the setting. I thought like the way they used the streetscape and the crowded streets and the buildings and all of that, I was pretty happy with it.
Yeah, I think like where it was problematic was that basically the entire state organization was operating on behalf of the drug lord, right? So like all police officers were,
which is very convenient for the
cannon
story.
Fodder. Yeah. And they had like explosions mid-city and they seemed to be like, that's par for course, like it's fine for that to happen. Which again, like I really think they could have done without that. We were talking about the quality of those, like if they had just taken out the explosions, I don't think it really would have affected this movie at all in terms of like stakes or enjoyability.
So the
like,
only time that the explosions were actually valuable to the plot was what looked like a smoke grenade, which I think was done. It wasn't perfect, but it was better than the other explosions early on when they're in the kind of like jungle trying to extract to the boat. He uses like a smoke grenade to get some cover, and that was fine. And you know, there's other ways you could have gone about doing that, but that's fine. And the second one was when he's shooting the like handgun, bazooka handgun, the I don't know what it was, like a grenade pistol or something. I'm not familiar with the guns. at the cars at the blockade, which kind of felt slightly necessary because I'm not sure how you take out like 25 dudes without some sort of 10 for one deal on that. You know what I mean?
Do we have any final thoughts on Extraction before we wrap up?
Oh, let it be. It's done.
Yeah, I think that's fine. That's where it's at.
That's where it's at. He says.
Everyone knows where we stand. Well, for those of you for whom this movie is for, I hope you enjoy it. And hopefully for those of you who, for whom it was not made, I hope we helped warn you off. And of course, if you watched Extraction and you have any thoughts on either the movie or a review, you can email us at originalcontent@techcrunch.com. You can also subscribe or leave us a positive review on Apple Podcast or any other podcast app. We always appreciate that. We'll be back later this week with a review of Middleditch and Schwartz, a improv comedy series on Netflix. Jordan and Daryl, I will talk to you soon.
Yeah, and I really don't care about your thoughts on my review for this either, listeners, with love.
You should at Jordan.
Don't at me. At her. I don't want to talk constantly about it. At her. I'm done. I'm moving past this difficult time in my life.
And her feelings about this movie reflect her feelings about you as a person, too.
So yeah, make sure. No! Take it personally.
Oh, stop. I'm definitely going to choose what we review next week, too. So
yes,
look forward to that, listeners.
Yay. Okay.